The city of Bloomington considered the deficit performance of Grossing Arena, the use of eminent domain, and downtown sourced revenue to fund improvements last night. Alderman Scott Black asked for consideration of several of those issues, and he joins us today. Let's start with the arena, something you did not put on the agenda. Do you believe Venue Works that operating deficits will be on the order of $500,000 a year going forward?
Thank you for having me, Charlie. You know, we want to see the arena be successful, and when Venue Works came to the council a couple years ago, they managed the building. They said that we were looking in the order of $200,000 to probably $400,000 operating loss per year. And these conversations are always difficult when we talk about the arena. Measuring the performance of the arena can be done in a number of ways. You look at economic impact of the arena, people coming to stay in hotel rooms or having a meal before going to a show. That's not captured in an operating performance. It's just simple what has been brought in versus what has gone out.
So what is a reasonable operating subsidy to gain the bang for the buck on the economic development side that the arena offers?
That is the sweet spot that we have been yet to come upon at this point in time. I'd like to see it run even, but I think that's a little difficult to achieve. And ideally, I like to think about the holistic picture. I've seen numbers range anywhere from a couple million dollars to tens of millions of dollars impact overall for the life of the arena. And that's based on numbers that from the Convention and Visitors Bureau Board, which includes heads in beds, people who go out and have a meal beforehand, and those sorts of things.
Illinois Wesleyan University, as the economics department, did some work on that a few years ago as well. Why do you are they now projecting $500,000 in the red each year instead of that $200,000 or $300,000 that was discussed earlier by Venue Works?
There's been a lot more information that has been brought forward since then. We know that the attendance at the shows has been a little more sluggish than originally projected. We've had just about the same number of shows as previous years, but the attendance has been a little lower.
Is that the shows? Is that the economy? Is that what?
It's hard to determine that information. And VenueWorks and Lynn Cannon do a great job of presenting that information to us and trying to be more aggressive in marketing and those types of strategies. But Alderman Sage last night brought up a good point. You know, I've been on the council now for over 5 years, and I've seen different versions of how we want to see the arena run. I've seen us talk about wanting to have more shows. And so do we add more shows and have less attendance? Do we have fewer shows with higher attendance? Do we take a loss on a show just so the lights are turned on? And I'm not sure that the group as a whole has come up with a solution to that answer.
So what's the way forward?
To me, it's about doing everything we can to make sure the arena is successful. There are those who are very upset with the fact that the arena was built. I understand that, but we have it. We want it to be successful. So if it means that we have to do more shows that bring in more people, let's find out what that sweet spot is. Last night we talked about potentially bringing back EDM, electronic dance music. That was a type of show that we had a couple years ago that would typically sell out. I'm personally in favor of that. I was opposed to eliminating that type of show at the time. Let's get as many profitable shows in there as we possibly can and give people what they want.
One of the reasons some people believe that the arena has not been as close to breaking even as possible is that it was built too small to start with, that it isn't able to attract major shows like some other venues, the Peoria Civic Center, for instance. Do you subscribe to that strand of thought or not?
I do a little bit. I think that we weren't able to find the right sweet spot for the number of seats for the venue. I know that I've seen a number of shows there that have been great, but in terms of attracting the big acts, I'm not sure we're able to do that. So let's find the niche. Personally, I'm not a country music fan, but I know that that typically will sell out shows. If you go to downtown Bloomington when there's a country music show, it's jam-packed. We recently attended the Beer and Bacon Festival a couple months ago. That was sold out. We had a line around the door. So I think it's just finding the right niche in the different types of events that will attract folks to the arena.
How big an operating deficit are you willing to accept?
I want to see it as small as possible. So ideally, I'd like to see it within that $200,000 to $400,000 range as originally projected by Venue Works. That would be the ideal for me. But I think my goal, utopia, would be somewhere in the neck of the woods of zero, so it breaks even.
Has this project and its complex history sapped political capital for any new project for a generation or two or however long?
It is undeniable that the arena has sapped political capital for any type of major investment from the city of Bloomington.
How does the city move forward and do what would be advisable to do to remain a thriving community then?
We need to be dynamic and we need to be looking at all possible options. And I think some of the lingering frustration about the arena is I hear those folks, but we can't linger on the past. We have to be looking forward to remain viable in this economic climate. We have to deal with the challenges of the fact that our state is not the most popular state to be in. We see people leaving. We want to be a competitive, thriving market, and not having projects is not going to bring more people back into our community.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Alderman Scott Black of the City of Bloomington is our guest. You called for consideration of eminent domain in a sense of the council resolution last night. Why was it necessary to identify eminent domain as a tool in the toolbox or to find out the appetite of the council to use it?
Over the past few years, I've been at a number of neighborhood meetings. I've had ward conversations. Individuals on the street ask me, why can't the city do something about X building, or why can't we take care of Y building? And for me to make that happen and have consideration, I need to have majority support. And what better way through our new aldermanic request form process to take a look to see if there is an appetite from the Bloomington City Council to review those types of initiatives.
And are you satisfied with the answer you got? A qualified maybe?
Qualified maybe? I will take a qualified maybe. To me, the aldermanic request form process is to initiate a conversation about topics that aldermen feel passionately about. And based on the conversation last night, I think we gave staff some direction on what we were looking for in terms of making sure that if an opportunity for eminent domain arrives, we should be pursuing that.
In your specification, that eminent domain be considered for potential properties in the downtown, targeted properties, did you go too far, as Alderman Sage had concern about, that was impermissible and that should have happened in a closed session?
You know, there will be those who think that I went too far, and there will be those that thought I didn't go far enough in specifying specific properties. My goal last night was to initiate a conversation about a very controversial and staff-heavy amount of time. An eminent domain process doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time, costs a lot of money, and to me it's important that before we start moving down that path, a majority of council is supportive of that endeavor.
Okay, by saying targeted properties in the downtown, is that code for the front and center building?
I'm not going to mention any specific properties.
What did you think of Alderman Willambwe's concern about a chilling effect on downtown investment by taking it up in this setting?
I don't necessarily agree with that perspective. I hear Alderman Willambwe's thoughts on that. I think that by having the conversation last night, it's actually showing that the city is being aggressive and targeting properties that are ripe for potential economic development and can help grow our downtown.
You also issued a call to aldermen to approve staff exploration of how downtown projects are funded in comparable communities. The idea is perhaps alcohol fees, revenue from the downtown itself. So let's do the chicken egg thing here. Alderman Amelia Burgess suggested it's a good idea to develop projects worth funding and then determine funding. She said there are already a lot of projects identified. So which comes first, the funding of the project?
Having sat around the dais of the City Council now for over a half decade, I can tell you that I've had this conversation many times, and I can feel the frustration from folks about downtown Bloomington. I hear people say, why can't the city do more about these sorts of projects? Why isn't the city taking more aggressive action? And when we start talking about a lot of these projects, and the Downtown Task Force did a wonderful job of breaking down Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 projects, low-hanging fruit, things we can accomplish, as we start to move up that food chain, they cost more money, and we need a revenue source to pay for that. Based on my feedback that I've heard in the community, downtown should potentially fund itself. And so what are some very specific ways that we can do that? And a lot of these conversations get tripped up when we start talking at a very high philosophical level about what should we do. I'd like to see a more specific, what would a alcohol tax look like? What would a special service area look like? Specific numbers so we can actually have that conversation and not shoot it down before we even get down the road of truly exploring it and what the pros and cons would be.
You didn't get a lot of uptake on that.
Well, no one is ever excited to talk about raising new revenue, and that's okay. What that tells me as part of my goal last night was to get a conversation started about these topics, and I think that now a number of aldermen have mentioned they want to prioritize those Tier 1 projects. I'm looking forward to seeing their alderman request forms with their priorities. I've certainly tried to put mine out there, and I look forward to hearing my colleagues.
So is that a put up or shut up on the on downtown projects?
I wouldn't put it that way.
Why not?
I think about it more as a collaborative process. We have a downtown strategy. We have a downtown task force report. I'm interested in moving projects down the court. I don't want to see us linger and argue about which one should come first. I want to see us grab a majority of aldermen that can agree on one project and see it happen. I subscribe to the philosophy now of the snowball theory, where that if we do a lot of smaller changes, we can make a big impact downtown. And I'm all for it. If it means coming through with new zoning for having sidewalk cafes, retail on the streets, new parking, let's do it. Let's move the ball down the court. And I think we can have some success in that realm.
Alderman Schmidt noted that roughly a decade ago, a special services district similar to what you're describing with a special fee, it really didn't go anywhere. She said the reaction was swift and clear. Why would things be different this time?
Things are different 10 years ago in a lot of ways. I'm interested, and I know that there are going to be people who are opposed and don't want to spend the money, but we have to do something to handle our downtown projects financially. We're not seeing a new revenue come in other areas of the community or the city's budget. We want to make sure that downtown funds itself from my perspective. And I'm interested in having the conversation. It takes political courage to do these sorts of conversations. And I hear everybody talk when they run for office about having tough conversations. Let's have them. Let's do it.
Here is another question, though, that Alderman Berg has raised. Is the underlying assumption with this kind of conversation about a special fee that we can't do anything in downtown without new revenue?
Absolutely not. I think that we need to look at new revenue streams to fund some of the bigger tier projects that we have downtown. I know staff is working very aggressively on some of the lower hanging fruit projects that are being reviewed at this point in time. But we need to have, as a city, a money source that funds some of these projects so that when we do have budget challenges, the fruits of the downtown investments will be paying for future tier projects down the road.
So what now? I mean, you've talked about aldermanic request forms. Do you expect that to move the dialogue to coalescing on a project or two or six of low-hanging fruit or what?
I'm looking forward to, again, my colleagues bringing forward their ideas. I know that there's a lot of passion about downtown. I certainly am not going to stop talking about the projects that I think are important. I want to see us try new things downtown. I think it's going to be smaller tiered projects, less expensive, lower hanging fruit. One piece we've talked about is having like a movie night in front of the BCPA, where we project an old movie and have families come out and watch those types of events. Anyone that's been to the GLT Jazz Fest, the Front Street Jazz Fest, any of the festivals downtown, farmers markets, knows that people want to come out to these sorts of events. So let's do them. That doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Those are lower tier projects. Let's get those rolling. Let's see it happen. And I think those will morph into bigger tiered projects over time.
So 5 or 6 minutes, 5 or 6 items of last night's agenda were yours because of the aldermanic request form. How did it work as the first time out for anybody doing it this way? It's intended to streamline and to encourage aldermen to talk about things publicly and in an orderly fashion. How'd it work?
I'd call last night a success, but I'll give it some notes, you know, for the future. As we started to do this new process a couple months ago of having in the committee the whole aldermen have the opportunity to bring up a topic to give staff direction to pursue or not pursue, I think the idea from my perspective was that it would be kind of a high-level conversation to determine if staff should spend time researching and drilling into the weeds. Last night probably got a little bit more into the weeds than I had intended in terms of specifics on these projects, but I think I'm hopeful. I think this is a way for us to have community conversations in public about these big issues.
Did you think? Did you get the sense that other aldermen were a little skittish about it and wanted to know more about the weeds before they agreed to anything high level?
I think that could be said. I know that if I try to put myself in somebody else's shoes, and I can imagine if I had read some of my alderman request forms, I would have had a number of questions if it were from another alderman. I think that we gave some direction on what we want to do with these topics.
So how will you tweak your request forms in future?
I think what I'll try to do in the future is make sure I circle back with all the aldermen to see what questions they have beforehand. I know that I work very closely with Tim Gleason, our new city manager, and he was fantastic in assisting me in getting through these forms and making sure that he was prepared for last night's meeting.
Alderman Scott Black of the City of Bloomington, thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.